The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Gittin has been sponsored by our good friend and loyal Talmid of the Daf Yomi, Mr. Haimi Dana, and his dear wife, Hashem Yishmerem V'Chayim. He has dedicated this Masechet according to the following principle. Our rabbis tell us that when you learn something, it can avert that item from happening. So we'd like to learn the Masechet Gittin, so it will remain in the theory of learning and never come to fruition in actuality, and therefore it should be blessed, him and his dear wife, and all of Klal Yisrael, with Shalom Bayit, and Hatzlachan Harvacha, Bechol Ma'aseh Yedehem. Amen. Daf Vav. Today's daf is being studied. Le'ilu Nishmat Mor Zekini Yosef Ben Sarah Ve'marat Zekinati Yafa Batsara Rabbi Abraham Ben Esther Wahashib Ten Hem Began Eden Amen. Today's daf is being studied. Refuah Shelema Michael Ben Malka Rina She'over Nituah Hayom Ve'refuah Shelema Sarah Ruhama Batrachel Ve'sarah Batrachel Moshe Ben Dina Elna Refanahem Elna Refanahem Elna Refanahem Refat Nefesh Refat Guf Urfuatam Kribalwa Ve'chin Yerusum Anamar Amen. We begin today's daf on the Fhe Amud Bet, and we are starting on the bottom of the Amud, and it is with the words Bar Hedaya, that is 1, 2, 3 lines before they get wide. Bar Hadaya Ba'alatu Yagita. Bar Hadaya wanted to bring a get. He was bringing it again from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. Atalikamed Rabbi Ahi. He brought the get in front of Rabbi Ahi. Da'ava Mimuna Agite. He was in charge of the gets, which means the Gemara says later on that anybody that does not have fluency in the laws of Gittin and Kiddushin, lo ye'esek imahim, don't get involved in them, because they're very intricate. If you make a mistake, you're involved now in serious avorot. So therefore, Rav Ahi, he was in charge of the Gittin, of the administration of it. So he went to Baradai, went to Amale Sarich Ata La'amod Al Kol Ot Ve'ot. He told them, listen, you're a shaliach, so you better stand there when it's being written. You have to watch every single letter. So he was very mahmir. In order to say b'fanai nechtav, you got to be there when every single letter being written. So comes the Gemara and says, Ata lekamed Rabbi Ami v'debaseh. So then he went in front of the two rabbis, Rabbi Ami v'debaseh. Amri le lo tzerichat. Now you don't need to be there for that. Now she says, Ela b'shita achat. Only for one line. What you gotta say is b'fanai nechtav, right? So when you see one line already written, and it was written l'shma, you can assume the rest of the get is written l'shma. You don't need to be there for the entire writing. So comes the Gemara and says, v'chi tema abid lechumra. And if you're gonna wanna say, well, I'll be mahmir, you know, I'll stay for the whole thing. Nimsa ata motzi la'az al gittin arishonim. You're now gonna cast dispersions on the early gittin that the people did not, that she did not stay the whole time. Because now you say, oh, must be have to stay the whole time. Well, these guys only stayed the first time, must be their pasul. Yeah. So therefore, you say, don't even be mahmir. Just stay there according to what the minimum is for the first line. And then once you can establish that is lishma, then already you are a legitimate shaliyah. You can say, b'fanai nechtab, u b'fanai nechtab. Comes the Gemara and says, Rabba bar bar hana iti gita. Okay, born again, palga ikhtav kame, u palga lo ikhtav kame. If it was written in front of him, and if it was not written in front of him, atal kame de bi el azar. Amar de afilu lo katav bo ela shita ahat lishma. Even if you only there for one line that was written the Shema, Shuv Eno Tzarich, which means that's enough to say, Bifanai Nechtav. Good. Now the whole question is, what line? So someone says the first line of the Gevet, with the names, which is the Ikar Get, name of the date. And someone say any time the first part of the first part of the Gevet. In any event, Rav Asher Amar, Afilu Kan Kul Musa, Vekan Migilta. That she has two interpretations of this. What is Kan Kulmus? Kulmus is the quill that they used to write with it, and the Migilta is the klaf. That she, top line, Tikuna Kulmus Vaklaf. He heard the sofer fixing the quill, making the quill to write, and fixing the parchment. Veshama Kishatiknu Lishma. He heard him fixing it Lishma, Kishotkin Oto Mahlikin Oto, when they're cutting the quill, and they're smoothing the klaf. Now, what does that mean? Making the quill lishma. You don't have to make the quill lishma. You have to make the quill for the no. You don't have kavanah when you do that. The explanation is: it seems that the when the sofer, let's say, was chiseling his quill to make it, he was saying, "Oh yeah, I'm making this quill over here for the get of so and so to so and so." You don't have to do that. You have to say that. So if you even if you didn't even see the get itself, you just were able to establish the lishma from kan kulmana, from the tikkun of the kulmus and the tikkun of the klaf. That she has a different kirsa over here. That she says velinir'e on the second line, kan kulmusa kol hakulmus. He actually heard the sound of the kulmus kishu kotev. I guess when you're rubbing the quill against the parchment, so he makes a noise. You hear the rubbing of the quill and you hear the parchment itself. The kol ha'idi'a shunishma namikesh omer kan. The sound of the kulmus, which means again, when he was writing, so obviously you have to say the sofer was uttering and saying, "I'm writing l'shem this person over this." When he heard the, he was in another room. He just heard the kulmus writing, and that already is able to establish the subject of mifanai nechtab and mifanai nechtam. Those are the two interpretations. Okay. So comes the Gemara and says, "Tanya kevated Rav Asher, hamevige mimidinat hayam, afilu hu bebayit v'sofer ba'al yayim." Let's say the shaliach is in the one room and the sofer is in the attic. Hu ba'al yayim v'sofer ba'al yayim. The opposite, he's in the attic and the sofer is in the house, in the room. Afilu nichnas v'yosek kol hayom kulo. Even if he's going in and out all day long, we'll see what that means in a moment. Kasher. Now the Gemara analyzes. Hu bebayit v'sofer ba'al yayim. Right, the fellows in the house, the shaliyah is in the room, and the sofer is in the attic. Haloka hazele. What are you talking? How can he say b'fanai nichtav? He doesn't see him. They're in different rooms. Ela lav kegon de shama kan kol musa vekan negelta. Must be that he was close enough in order to hear the quill writing, and therefore that's where bring a black that's reported, and therefore you see why that it's enough to just hear the quill writing, and you know they're writing it lishma, and therefore it's okay. Because I guess he has to be saying that at the time, as he's writing, and you hear the quill writing, and you hear the lishma of the sofer as he's saying it at the time. So combined with his utterance of the lishma, and you hear the quill writings, that's b'fanai nichtav. You heard the writing, and you know that it's lishma. He's saying, "I'm writing it lishem so and so and so and so." So Amar Mo, now we go back to that statement. Afilu nichnas v'yosek kol hayom kulo kasher. Even if he goes in and out of the room all day long, it's kasher. Now who's going in and out? The Gemara says, "Man, who is going in and out?" Ili mashaliach. See, tell me if the shaliach goes in and out of the room where the sofer is writing. Hashta hu bebayit v'sofer ba'aliyah delo hazele amart kasher. Nichnas v'yosek mevaya. You're telling me that if he doesn't even see him at all, if he's in another room in totality, he just heard the guy writing, he could say b'fanai nichtav. You have to tell me if he's nichnas v'yosef, he actually went in from intermittently and saw the guy writing. Of course, he can say b'fanai nichtav. He actually saw at least part of it. So I don't need you to tell me that case. Ela sofer. You know what it's talking about? That the sofer goes in and out, which means he's writing a get, and in the middle of the writing, he goes out to the marketplace, comes back, and continues writing the get. So the Gemara says, Pshita, Mishum de nechnas v'yosin nefsilina? Well, just because he's going in and out, I'm posil the get? Like, I can't take a break? Well, why would I think that the sofer cannot walk out of the room that he has to write the get, let's say, in one shot? So the Gemara says, Lord Siricha de nafak leshuka. The case is talking about with a sofer in the middle of riding the gate, he went out to the marketplace. And what are you worried about? That time comes back. He got to the marketplace, he found two people that have the same name as the people in the gate. And therefore, now he's going to come back and he's going to start writing for them. And therefore, the gate is not going to be the shema for the people that were intended. And therefore, you would have thought that maybe when a sofer goes out of the room, he's considered no good. The get is no good. That's what the Gemara says, kamashman, that it is indeed okay. So we look at Ashi in the fourth line, the fact Lashuka, sofer yatsa lashuk lemkom shiyesh sham b'nei adam harbe. He went to the market because there was a lot of people. Now the tema ini shachayin ashkeha shishmo kishmo shil zeh. The guy told him, do me a favor, write me a get. So now the guy's writing the get for person number two, right? And therefore it's going to be pasul to give to person number one, because it's a different guy. And if we were concerned that maybe if a sofer goes in and out all day long, it's not going to be good. That's why it says, sofer nechnas v'yotzeh, even though that get is indeed kasher. So basically, what you summarize in this last piece over here, we're giving modifications on the mefanai nichtav. We thought Torah mefanai had got to be there for the whole entire situation. Mm-hmm. Now we're learning. Well, one rabbi said, yeah, you got to be there for every ot ve'ot. But then we saw this. She taught that no, one line is enough. Because you can assume that if you did one line Mishma, the main item Mishma, then the rest of the gear was Mishma. And someone is, you don't got to be there at all. Even if you just heard the Sofer writing, that is considered enough where you can testify Befanai Nechtav. Now I want to point out, this is only for the Befanai Nechtav, but Befanai Nechtam, you got to be there for the signatures. And that's not going to be saying that I saw the, to establish Lishma, I can establish Lishma even with one line.
Right.
But I cannot establish that I saw signatures unless you actually see the signatures.
Right.
Now, this is just that we're establishing Lishma. I can do it in a more lenient way. Mashiach to see witnesses, you got to see the witnesses. Therefore, Befanai Nechtam has got to be in actuality. Interesting, the point Gemara continues. Itmar, we have a statement from Amoraim. Bevel. Oh, now we're going to discuss the status of Bevel. Let's review. Now we know Chutz La'aretz already, we said they don't know about Lishma, these guys, and therefore, according to Rabba, they established the Din of Befanai Nechtam, Befanai Nechtam. Our question is going to be now, is all Chutz La'aretz the same? Or maybe Bavel is different. Right? Bavel had yeshivot, you have to remember. There was a Torah, academies. So maybe they know the Shema. So how do you treat Bavel? So comes the Gemara and says, regarding Bavel, Machloket. Rav Amar ke'eres Yisrael legitin, Ushmuel Amar ke'chutz la'aretz. Okay, so the question is, Rav says, like Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you don't have to worry about the Anyan of Lishma. And according to Shmuel, he comes along and says, it is like Chutz La'aretz. And the case we're talking about over here is you're bringing from Medina to Medina, Bevavil, from one province to a different province in Bevavil itself. So now the issue, so we'll get to the Shayarot in a second. You're going to have two issues you have to deal with. You have to see if Shayarot or Mitzuhim, is there traveling back and forth in the provinces, which we'll see in a moment. And you got to deal with the Lishma issue. So Rav wants to come along and say it as a deen of Eretz Yisrael. So for the Lishma factor, you don't got to worry about it. And Shmuel says, like Chutz La'aretz, for the Lishma factor, you got to be concerned. And therefore, you have to say, Befanai Nechtav, Befanai Nechtav. So comes Gevra and analyzes, and says like this. Let us say that the Mahlok Din Av in Shmuel is the following. Which means, Rav is going to hold. The whole reason why you have to say Befanai Nechtav is because the people are not Beki'im Lishma. And the people in Bavel, they know. And Shmuel is going to hold that what? That the real reason is because En Edim Mitzvim L'Kayimo, because people don't travel back and forth, so they're not going to have anybody to Bekayim again. And in Bavel also, from one the province to another province, there's no travelings, so therefore we have to be concerned as well. So we want to make the Mahluk and the Rav and Shmuel the same Mahluk between Rabba and Rava. But the Gemara says, "Tisbera ha Rava itle de Rava." As we said, that Rava agrees with Rava, so everybody agrees to the issue of Shayrot Mitzuyot. So therefore, even Rava, how can you say it's like Eretz Yisrael? You took care of the Lishma issue, but what about the fact that people don't travel back and forth from province to province, and therefore, how are you going to be mekayim the get? So the Kavra, you should have to say Befanai Nechtam, Befanai Nechtam for the fact that you need to kiyum on the get. Ela de kula alma ba'ina nekayimo. Everybody, you're right, holds that the main reason is Kiyum. Rav Sabat, Kevan Di'ika Mitifta Mishkach Shechiha. Rav holds there was yeshivas in Babel. There was a yeshiva in Sura, there was a yeshiva in Popedita, and therefore there was always travelings between the major cities in Babel. So he said, I'm not worried. You'll have witnesses that will be able to Mikayem the Shtar, and that will know signatures, because you'll have people that say you write a get in Sura, right? And you bring it to Popedita. You'll have people that from Surah that are in Pupedita that will recognize the signatures of those people that signed in Surah, and vice versa, because there's always people traveling back and forth. So you don't have to worry. It's not like a regular Chutz La'aretz where we said from province to province they don't travel. In Bavel, province to province, there's a lot of movement because of the yeshivas that were there, that people are always going back and forth. Ushmuel Amar, Ushmuel Savad, Mitifta. Shmuel comes along and says, you're right, you have yeshivas over there, but they're preoccupied in their studies. What does it mean they're preoccupied in their studies? So look at Rashi. Mitifta yeshivot kivuot ahat besura v'ahat benardea v'olchim talmidim mizu Lizu. Actually, again, you have Tzura and Harda. Umishar Ayarot, then the Motu, and from other cities as well. Begirsayutin ve'en makinim hatimot. Which means the whole purpose of Shairot Mitzuyot is that you can see the people that come from one city, right, the other city, they're going to recognize the signatures. These guys in the yeshivas, they don't recognize anything. They're too busy studying. And if they don't put their mind to recognize any witnesses. So therefore, you have Shairot Mitzuyot, but the whole purpose of the Shairot, they're not going to fulfill. Because they're too busy, they're preoccupied in their learning. So they don't pay attention to documents to know exactly whose signature is who. Itman name Amar Abi Abba Amar Avuna. Asinu atzmenu bevavel ke eres Yisrael legitin. He says, we made ourselves in Bavel like Eretz Yisrael. And regarding the laws of Gittin, Michi atar Rav leBavel. When Rav came to Bavel and established yeshivas, so then already we made ourselves like Eretz Yisrael. Because what? Traveling started to become prevalent between the different cities in Bavel and Ebaki, Bishma. So therefore we traded like Eretz Yisrael. You don't have to say, Befanai Nechtab, Befanai Natam. Look at Rashi. Michi atar Rav leBavel. Vekava yeshiva b'Sura. And he made his famous yeshiva in Sura. Udishmuel. But initially, even though we know that from the exile, when the Jewish people went into exile in the times of Yechoniah, that was the times of the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. Before the destruction, Nebuchadnezzar actually exiled the Talmidei Chachamim to Babel. But still, there was not a yeshuv of yeshivot in different cities. So while you might have had an issue of lishma, the traveling was a problem because they didn't travel from place to place. Only when Rav and Shmuel came to Bavel later on, when they established yeshivot in different cities, so then already they took care of that issue over there, and the traveling problem was not an issue, and therefore they made it like it is said that they do not have to say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtav mativ Rav Yirmiyahu. We have a question. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we go back to a quote from our Mishnah. Merekem the Mizrach, Verekem ke Mizrach. Remember, our Mishnah was giving you the borders of what's considered Chutz La'aretz. So it says, on the east side of Eretz Yisrael, the border starts at Rekem, and Rekem is considered part of the east. I mean, Rekem is considered Chutz La'aretz. And then we said, Me Ashkelon le Darom, Me Ashkelon ke Darom. On the southern border, Ashkelon, and Ashkelon is considered in the south. I mean, it has the deen of Chutz La'aretz. Me'ako le Safon, Ve'ako ke Safon. And then on the northern border, you have Akko, and Akko is considered north, meaning it's considered outside. Now, Ve'ha Bavel is funa de Eretz Yisrael kaima. Now we know Bavel is also to the north of Eretz Yisrael, like the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Dechtiv. Ve'yomer Hashem Elai Misafon Tepatach Ara'ah. Right, Yirmiyah comes along and says that the trouble is going to come from the north. He meant from Bavel. Utnan, Rabbi Meir Omer, and we have a statement in the Mishnah that says, Akko ke Eretz Yisrael legitin. Rabbi Meir said, regarding the city of Akko, Akko is considered like Israel when it comes to Gittin. Vafilu Rabbi Meir lo kamar ela be'Akko de mekarba. He only said regarding Akko, because Akko is closer Israel, no. But Babel is even further north than Akko. So if Akko, we have a machlokah, because one rabbi says Akko is considered Chutz La'aretz. The Bibi says no, Akko is considered in Israel. Machlokah on Akko itself, but further than Akko, which is Babel, everybody sounds like it's going to say as a deen of Chutz La'aretz. So the Gemara is very simple. Who motiv la mufarikla? Libar be Babel. Except for Bavel, which means we know Bavel is the exception, which means don't think what we said, you know, anything from Akko to the north is considered Chutzal. Yeah, we meant anything Akko in the north, and Akko is a machloket, except for Bavel. Bavel, we know, is an exception. So never don't learn it so literal that it's including all countries. That's what Gemara says. Ad Echan Hu Bavel. And now they want to give the borders of Bavel, so you know exactly which parts, if a person brings a get from Bavel, which part don't you have to say, Bifanai nechtab ufanai. Where does the border begin? So you have to know, because in order to know the laws, because otherwise it doesn't have a din of Babel. Then you have to say it. If it has a din of Babel, you don't have to say it. So Gemara says, Amara papa, ke machloket li yuhsin, ka machloket legitin. Which is, you have a machloket for yuhsin. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, the people that came from Babel had a very good lineage. And nafkamina, when it comes to marrying somebody, if they come from Babel, you know their lineage is very good. So the Gemara over there gave the borders exactly what's considered Babel for Yuhasin. So the Gemara, whatever the borders are for Yuhasin, for lineage, the same thing the borders are for Gittin. The Rav Yosef Amar Machloket Liyuhasin. I mean, when it came to Yuhasin, you have a Machloket over there. Aval Gitin, Devrei Akol Ad Arba Tinyana Digishra. Until the she says Arava Shiniya Simucha LeGesher. It says there was a famous bridge over there. You have to say the bridge over there by the Euphrates River, and it says over there there was Aravot. I guess they had like willows. So if you go on the bridge, you'll see the second field of willows of Aravot. That's already where Bavel starts. Okay, that's where the border is of Bavel. Okay, good. So he's giving, I guess that was a famous landmark that everybody knew. I mean, see the bridge over there, by the second, the willow, by the bridge over there, that's already, you know, the parameters of Bavel. Now, these were two cities in Bavel. We have an interesting statement over here from Rav Chisda. He said, a get from Aktispon to Be Ardeshir. You got to say Befanai Nechtav. However, from Be'ar Deshir La'Akhtespon, the other way, Lo Matzlich. Now that's strange. How could you have the same, if you have the same place, that means there's Shairot Mitzuyot. There's people going back and forth, obviously. And if he said you don't need to say it from one place, it means obviously they were Baki in the Shema. So therefore, what's the, it's Bavel. So Bavel the Baki Bishma. So what's the issue? Why one direction you got to say, one direction you don't got to say? We need to explain it over.
Baki in one place.
No. Bavel, we said the Baki. We didn't make Chalukim in cities. Bavel the Baki. The Tamidah came in Bavel. But the question is, Chayrot Mitzvot, because you tell me one way you don't got to say it. So the Gemara says, Lema Kasamar, Lefi She'en Bekiim Nishma. So maybe you're going to come along and say, that what? That the reason is because of En Bekiim Nishma, Vehani Gemini. And you'll tell me that what? That the people in Aktespon, right, were not Baki Bishma. That's why from Aktespon to Be'ar Deshir, you need it, because when they wrote it in Aktespon, you didn't know, you didn't have the Kavanah Lishma. But when you wrote from Ar Deshir to Aktespon, since they knew Lishma, because you want to make a haluk, like you said, that maybe in one place they knew Lishma, and one place they didn't know Lishma. Fine, but that doesn't answer the question. You know why? Which means still, Rava agrees to Rava that you need Sheyarot Mitzuyot. So then, how are you going to get involved with Sheyarot Mitzuyot from one place? It seems even two provinces. So how are you going to say that's okay? So the Gemara says, you're right. Everybody holds that the reason is that you need Kiyum. Oh, so if you need kiyum, so I can just say that in one place from Ardeshir to Aktespon, it's okay. So the Gemara says, "Behani, kevan de azle leshuka lehatam, hanach yadei b'chatimot yada dehani, vehanach bedahanach lo yadei." The Rashi gives us the history of these two cities. Let's read the Rashi now. The Rashi says, "Azle leshuka." Aktespon. The people from Be'ar Deshir would go to Aktespon for the market. It seems the market was in Aktespon. So they would always be going to Aktespon for the marketplace. Now, if you're involved in commerce, so you're always involved with documents and signatures and you're signing your name and all that stuff over there. Who's got all the shtarot? The Aktespon people. So they're very fluent with the signatures of Ardeshir. Right, because the Ardeshir people are coming and writing documents, receipts, whatever it is. Adzman shenigbim. All right, until they come to collect their notes, the notes remain by the people in Aktespon. Lefichach b'nei Aktespon makinim hatimat b'nei Ardeshir. So they're familiar with the notes. Therefore, hilkach get shenichtam b'Ardeshir v'neshtalah ad Aktespon edim mitzuyim nekayemo. It's very good. Sheyarot mitzuyot, because why? There's a market. So they're going back and forth. Are you worried about that they're going to know these signatures? They know the signatures. Because, again, the people in Aktespon have a lot of documents that have the signatures of the people of Be'ar Deshir. And therefore, when a get is written in Be'ar Deshir and brought to Aktespon, you don't got to say Befanai Nechtav. You know why? Because somebody in Aktespon is going to know those signatures. So therefore, if they have any question, they'll always be able to be Mekayim the Shtar. Ve'af b'nei Ar Deshir kishulchim nam neshuk yikaymu. Right, not only the people of Aktespon can mekayem it, the people of Ardeshir, they're always coming to Aktespon, they'll be mekayem the shtar. However, Ava b'nei Ardeshir Einam makirim hatimat bnei Aktespon. But the people of Adeshir, they're not familiar with the signatures of the people of Aktespon. Which is, even though they're going to Schora, they go to the marketplace over there as well. They call Yom Hashuk Bishukayu Tridin, the Enna Notim Lev the Stakilu Akir Hatimat Bene'ir. Which means, even though there's people going back and forth, and we just said now that they're signing notes and things like that, the people of Ardishir are involved in the market. They're not paying attention too much to the notes, and not paying too much attention to the signatures. So therefore, if somebody from Aktespon sends a get from Aktespon to Ardishir, so what's going to happen, the people of Ardishir, they're not going to recognize the signatures. Why they're not going to recognize? You're doing business with these people, you see their signatures. No, they're too busy doing business. They don't pay attention to signatures, they don't know signatures, they don't know nothing. So therefore, from Aktespon to Ardishir, if the guy doesn't say b'fanai nichtav, you're not going to have anybody to be mekayem di get. So let's review again. The Torah, the rabbi of Chazda was coming to us and saying, there's two cities, Aktespon and Adishir. He came along and said, if a gate was written in Adishir and sent to Aktespon, you don't have to say b'fanai nichtav, b'fanai nichtav. For a simple reason. Number one, nishma, we're going to say they have. So, oh, but Shayrot Mitzriot they have also. You know why? People travel back and forth because of the market. Oh, and very good. Once they're traveling to the market, that means the people of Aktespon, they'll be able to mekayem the stuff because they know the signatures already of the people of Adishir, because they're holding a lot of their notes anyway. So if anybody's going to give a get from Adishir, oh, whose signature? Oh, I know that guy. I have a note in my house. I have this. I have that. We're able to mekayem the start very well. But the opposite, no. Why? I thought they're traveling. They should know each other's signatures. No, because the people of Adishir, they're too busy doing business. They're not paying attention, noticing signatures and things like that. So if a get from Aktespon goes to be Adishir, if you don't say b'fanai nichtav, nobody's going to be able to be mekayemet, okay? Let's just review this again. The Gemara initially thought that the issue was lishma. That the people thought that for the Adishir people, since they were a little closer into the mainland of Babel, they knew lishma. So if let me get from Adishir to Aktespon is okay. But Aktespon, I guess, was a little further out. Maybe they didn't know lishma. So the Gemara said, hey, leave that. You have the issue, besides lishma, you have the issue of Sheyarot, Mitzuyot. And therefore, since they're far from each other, how are you going to settle the issues? So Gemara says, no, the people from Adish used to travel to Aktespon for business. So therefore, like we said, the people of Aktespon were not worried, they'll be able to make Kayyam start up, but the people of Adish will not, because like we said, they are tarud in their market, and therefore they don't pay attention to signatures from Aktespon. So when a get comes to them, they're not going to notice signatures unless the Shaliyah says, before I have to come. Gemara continues. Rabba Bar Abu. Matzlik ve'arsa le'arsa. Wow. Across the street. One row of houses to another row of houses. He needed the shliach to say, b'fanai nichtav. Rav Sheshat matzlik m'shkuna l'shkuna.
Yeah.
Even from like house to house, like a neighbor of houses to another neighbor of houses. Ve'rabam matzlik be'ota shkuna. Even in the same like courtyard, the same building over there, you need to say this over here. So Gemara's reading, "V'hara v'ahu damad fishi ene dimi tzuim mekayemo." Rava's reading this ene dimi tzuim mekayemo. They're so close. Somebody will be able to figure out the witnesses over here. What do you have to say for an echdam? So he says, "Shani bene mehoza denaidi." We're talking about a specific city in Babel. Bene mehoza, they're always on the move, and therefore look at Rashi. Bottom line, denaidi. Ena mishtayim bebatin shetirudim b'schora ve'en makirim hatimot shebeneim. They don't know what's going on in their town with signatures, these people. So therefore, you're going to have a get in one neighborhood. Right? So the shtar didn't say before I ektav. You're going to assume, somebody in Mehoza must know these signatures. They don't pay attention to signatures, these guys in Mehoza. They're too busy making money, too busy working. And therefore, in this place over here, you're going to have to be Kayyim to start by the Shaliyah. Don't rely on the people of Mehozat to say, well, the Shayarot, people know each other. Yeah, they know each other. They're not too concerned about each other's signatures. Comes the Gemara and says, another story. Rab Hanin Mishtaya. Rab Hanin told the following story. Rav Kana, I take it up. Rav Kana brought a get. Velo yadana im sura len hardea, im hardea le sura. I don't know which cities he brought it from. Was it from sura to hardea or hardea to sura? Atal kemed Rav, he came in front of Rav. Amale sinikna le memar b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtav. Do I have to say b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtav? Or no sinikna, or don't I have to say it? Now again, these are cities in Babel. Amale lo sinikat. Right? Especially Rav. Rav's opinion is that Babel as a deen of Eretz Yisrael for Gittin, you don't have to say it. V'i avad ahinat. But he says, but if you say it, it'll benefit you. Now, what do you mean? What do you mean if you say it? So, if you don't have to say it, what do you mean? But if you say it, it'll benefit you. Which means if the husband comes and now questions the veracity of get, you won't listen to him. Which means you don't have to say it right now. But if the husband comes as ma'ar'ed, then you got to deal with it. Then you have to start mekayeming it. So even though the rabbi said you don't have to say b'fanai nichtav, but if you say it, it'll be valid. It'll work to stave off the complaints, or the claims, I should say, of the husband. Which means you could have thought that since you don't have to say it, so maybe even by saying it, it doesn't accomplish anything. So he's coming and say, no, you don't have to say, but know that there's a value if you do say b'fanai nichtav, because then it's already insured. Mm-hmm. Then even if the husband comes along and has claims, you said you already you handled it by saying b'fanai nichtav. So comes Gemara and gives a story to prove this. Kedetanya, ma'aseh be'adam echad shevi get tefteh Rabbi Yishmael. This guy brought a get in front of Rabbi Yishmael. Amar lo, sarich ani lomar b'fanai nichtav, b'fanai nichtav. Do I have to say b'fanai nichtav, b'fanai nichtav? Or eno sarich, or na? Amalo bini, mechanata, where do you come from? Amalo to be mikfar sisae ani. I come from kfar sisae. And she says, shem makom. Okay? That's the name of a place. Amalo sarich ata lomar befana nechtam, befana nechtam. You know what? Say it. Shelo tezakek le'idim. In order that now you're not going to have to come out to witnesses when the husband comes along and he has claims, you've got to find witnesses. Say it. לאחר שיצא נכנס לפניו רבי אלעאי, רבי אלעאי came in. אמר לו רבי, so he tells him, רבי, והלו כפר סיסאי מובלעת בתחום ארץ ישראל. So what are you talking about? כפר סיסאי is already enveloped in the borders of Israel. וקרובה לציפורי יותר מעכו. It's even closer to Israel than עכו. ותנן רבי מאיר אומר, עכו כארץ ישראל לגיטין. Which means that Rabbi Meir says even Akos can say like it is said. Now, afilu Rabbanan that argue lo pedi yale Rabbi Meir ela be'akos the minhagab. They only argue on Akos because it's further out. But Kfarsi said the mekarba no. But Kfarsi says goes to what are you telling him to say b'fanai to b'fanai etav? This is Israel. You don't got to worry about it. Amar lo shetok beni shetok. He told him keep quiet. See, Rabbi Ishmael tells Rabbi Eli, I know what I'm talking about. Just keep quiet. Which means, since already I gave him a way out to kosher up the get, I gave him an angle over here. What do you have to? Nothing wrong with saying b'fanai nechtab or b'fanai nechtab. Which means, since already the rabbis gave you a tikkun by saying b'fanai nechtab. To kosher up the get, so therefore you won't have to have Adim come along when the husband comes along and has claims. So we'll leave it. Don't. She was trying to tell you it helps, right. Even though maybe you don't have to say it. But since we have a way to fix it, let's fix the matter. So you don't got to come on to Adim. So the Gemara says, Ha iuname shelo tezakek the Adim kaaman le, which means. The question is like this: Rav Elahai, he heard Rabbi Yishmael. He gave a ruling. He said, "You got to say b'fanai nechtab, b'fanai nechtab." So he came up with a rabbi. I don't understand you. What do you got to do such a thing? It's even closer to Eretz Yisrael than Akko. But the question is, what do you mean? Didn't he hear what Rabbi Yishmael said when Rabbi Yishmael made his ruling? He said, "Say it so you won't need edim." I mean, he wasn't saying it as a mandatory. He gave his reason when he said it. So what is Rabbi Elahai saying? Rabbi, what are you talking about? It's an Eretz Yisrael. He should have known from the way Ishmael made his statement. He said, say it, kedesh shelo tezakek le'adim. So the Gemara says, lo saimua kameh. That part, he wasn't in front of him for that part. Which means all he heard was, is that he said, say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. He didn't hear the end of the statement. Now, if he would have heard the end of the statement in order to protect himself, then he wouldn't have had any questions. So he thought he's saying it from the law. He said, Rabbi, from the law you have to say this over there? Can you say this from the law? He said, no, I didn't say it from the law. I said, since you have a way to fix it, Fix the petition, you won't need edim. So he didn't know that. He didn't know because he didn't hear that part of the statement when he said it. But what he's giving the story over here, that even in a place where you don't have to say b'fanai nechtam v'fanai adam, and you do say it, okay, it'll stave off the husband's claim, that even if he says now in ur, which has claim, doesn't matter, the get is going to be kasher.
Why do you think it's not
like,
if he says it?
If the, maybe the whole takana b'fanai nechtam, where the rabbis mandated it, but if they didn't mandate it and you said it, so I saw over here, I saw a Hiddush that explains that over here. The Ritba says it. The Ritba says like this. He says, "Milvad ma shehibu hachamim shiyomar Hashem b'fanai b'fanai nechtam b'mkom shehibu gam etzem adavar." The fact sheyafe koach amirato neged ura baal. Which means this whole thing that a husband or a shaliach could say that's a rabbinical enactment in order to mekayem ishtar against the claims of a husband, right? Now, really from the law, the shaliach's words should not work against the Baal's words. Shekin en davar shebeerva pachot mishtam. As we learned, you need two witnesses for everything. This is a kula. Mind you, because remember we had this question in the Gemara. Why do you trust the shaliach? There's only one guy. And we said, okay, aguna, we're going to be lenient and all that. And a shekino hakamim that we're going to consume like two. Now, ilule devre rav, wasn't for the shadush of rav that we're learning now. Hayinu chozim shelo kilo hakamim ela b'mkom shechibu ashech lomar b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam. Shu'il ve'en adim esim sham dekayim et haget ra'ui lenachon nesmoch al amirat ha'shaliach kereged ula ba'al. Ach k'mkom shelo chaybu lomar ken, meshum shemetsuim, so maybe we're not going to trust him, which means maybe this kula is only when you need it. When you need this kula, when any edim mitzvim the kayimo, okay, the rabbis, you know what? I'll rely on the shaliach. But if you have edim the kayimo, you're in Bavel, the shayarot mitzuyot. So therefore, maybe in that case, I'm not going to rely on one witness, one shaliach, to make the statement because you don't need him. You're in a place where there's edim mitzuyim. Let's let two witnesses come along and the kayim the start. The chiddush is that even where it's not necessary, we're going to still take the leniency of one shaliach to make the deal. That's a very big hadush. Okay? You might have thought the leniency is only given when you need the leniency. But to be lenient on one ahead, to be kayyem ishtar, when you had other options, maybe they don't do it. Kama shalom, you know what? Say it anyway. You know why? Because if the husband's going to come and not it, it'll work. Oh, how do you know that? From the story of Rabbi Yishmael. Comes giving us a shalach le Rabbi Eviatar le Rav Chisda. Okay, Eviatar was in Eretz Yisrael. The center of Chizda was in Bavel. Gitin habain misham lekan. Gitin that come from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and sarich lomar b'fanai nechtam u'b'fanai nechtam. Look, we had a machlok at Avin Shmuel, right? So obviously, Eviatar is coming along and saying, you don't need to say it, Bavel is like Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, it's okay. So the Gemara says, "Lema kasabar defi she'en b'kiim lishma." Let's understand. Aviatar must hold that the issue is lishma vani gemini, and the people of Babel obviously have lishma knowledge. Therefore, we don't have to say it. Ah, v'tis berava araba ita berava. Yeah, but what about the travelings? Which means intra Babel they travel, but now we go from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. What are you going to do with that? So the Chavurah should have to say it. So the Gemara says, "Ela dekol ha'alma b'ain and the kayemo." Because a lot of people that go from Bavir to Eretz Yisrael, they go back. So there's always travelings between the two countries. You have no problem of Shairam Mitzvot. So therefore, Lishma is taken care of. Traveling is taken care of. Therefore, people will recognize the witnesses. Therefore, you don't have to say Mefanai Nechtam, Mefanai Nechtam. So comes to give us Amar of Yosef. Man le malan de Rabbi Eviatar bar Samchahu. Oh. Who told you that we can even rely on this rabbi? Who's this Rabbi Eviatar that's coming along and giving us halachot? I mean, you bring a get from Bavit and it's saying off the same Fanai Nechtam, Fanai Nechtam. Hold it. Is he a Bar Samcha? Is he somebody that is reliable? Why do you think not? So he says like this. Ve'od ha'iyud shalach le Rav Yehuda. We have a story. He sent a letter to Rav Yehuda. This is Rav Yehuda. He sent a letter to Rav Yehuda. Bnei Adam ha'onim misham lekan. He says, those people that are going from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Aviatar was in Eretz Yisrael. So he came along and said, those people that are leaving their families in Babel and they're coming to Eretz Yisrael to study Torah, kimu be'atzmam, they fulfilled the pasuk, vayitenu hayeled bezona, vayalda machru beyayin vayishtu, which means they sold the child bezona, literally for znut, that she says shayu mishtahin be'eretz Yisrael. These rabbis would go to Israel, they'd stay there for a long time, and they leave their wives without any sustenance. Umanihin neshotem agunot ubetelin mepriya v'debya shenakel be'enehem yeladim v'yeladot. And therefore, which means they're not going to have children. Jeez, you people that are coming to Israel to say Torah, I was speaking to them derogatorily. He was saying, you fulfilled the pasuk that says, v'yitinu ha'yilad bezonah, which means you're mezalzel on your children. You're mistreating your children because you're leaving your wife's agunot and therefore you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of periyah v'debiyah. So that she explains it, it's like somebody that sells his children for food. V'yitinu ha'yelet bezonah. Zonah means bezonot. Right? V'yit ha'yaldam machlu b'yayin. Or you sell the child for wine. That somebody obviously has no regard for his children. So you people are the same thing. Now, what's because you're leaving your families? You don't obviously you don't care about having children because you're not fulfilling periyah v'debiyah. So what's the problem with him sending that letter? The problem was v'katav le belo sirtut. When he wrote the letter, it's a pasuk. That pasuk is a pasuk in Navi. We have a halakha. Whenever you quote a pasuk from the Tanakh, you have to write it. Even if you're writing it on not on parchment, if you're writing it on paper, you have to make sirtut. What is sirtut? Lines. You have to draw lines on the paper in order to write. Why? Because when a person draws with writes with line paper, he draws straight. And if a kavod sefer Torah, if a kavod pasuk, you have to write letters on sirtut. And he wrote the letter, and he didn't make sirtut. So who says he's a bar sabkar islam v'yatar? You want to trust him? He don't even know the law of sirtut over here. Now, v'amar b'yitzhak shtayim kodvim, which means Shalosh en kotvim. What does that mean? Shtayim kotvim. Two words, you don't have to write sirtut. Three words already, you have to. The understanding is two words you can write straight without having lines. But actually three words, now already you need to have the lines in order to keep them straight. B'matnitatan, I have a braita that says a little differently. Shalosh kotvim. He lets you write even three without sirtut. And braita arba en kotvim. But bottom line, four, no. But bottom line, this pasuk is more than four words. Whatever you're going to say, so how can he write a letter without sirtut, meaning he doesn't know? Amar le'abaye, atu kol de'lo yada had Rabbi Yitzhak lav gavra rabba. What? Just because he doesn't know Rabbi Yitzhak's statement, that means he's not a gavra rabba, he's not an important man? Which means, bishtama milta detalya bisvara lehaye. If you want to tell me that he made a mistake in logic, right, that already is showing me that he's not capable. Ha gamrai, this is a tradition. The gamra lo shamia, he didn't hear halacha. He can't have a claim against him. When he's Rabbi Yitzhak had a tradition. He didn't hear a tradition. That doesn't mean he's not a gavrada. But if you would show me that there's a flaw in his thinking, that he doesn't have to think straight, then already you're right. Then already you knock him out. But just because he didn't hear a statement, or even if in fact he didn't hear a braita, there's no claim against him for that. Ve'od, the Gemara is inferred. Now the Gemara is going the other way. The Shah of Eviatar was actually great. Had of Eviatar who de'askim mare al yadeh. He was so great of Eviatar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to the Eviatar. How? Dichtiv, v'tizne alav pilagsho. Now this is the story over here of the pilegish begivah. The fellow that was basically married. He was very tough on his wife. As a result of it, his wife
fled.
And he went to retrieve her.
Civil war.
And what happened was the people of Binyamin, where they went, they mistreated the Pilegesh, and they abused her to the extent where she died. And then from this came a civil war. He cut her up and sent the husbands cut her up and sent her parts to all the tribes of Israel and said, look what happened over here in the Shevet of Binyamin. In any event, like you said, a civil war broke out as a result of it. But the question is, we want to know what started the fight between the Pilegesh and the husband that caused her to leave. So the pasuk says that tisneh alav pilak, which doesn't mean like she rebelled, she turned against him. Rav Eviatar Amar zvuv matzala. What happened? There was a fly in the soup. Fly in the soup, that was already considered the, you know, rebellious thing. Rabbi Yonatan Amar Nima Matzala. No, he found the hair. They have to know, in the olden days, the ladies would shave their hair in the Makom Ha'irva. That was the custom. Now, if a lady would leave her hair over there, that was a sign that it was dangerous. Because she would leave like a sharp hair, a long sharp hair, and that would, Chas V'Shalom, cause the husband or anybody to go to become a Knut Shafcha. It would cause him to be dismembered, as they say. And therefore, he went, and all of a sudden she's this hair over here, that she's trying to do something. Look at that she says, Nima Matzah, they come in for the Gemara. Wait for the Gemara. So it's either fly in the soup or Nima. One day, Rav Eviatar, he found Eliyahu Nevi. What is God doing right now? I wonder what's God doing right now. He's actually learning the sugya of Pilegesh Begiva. God's learning the Nevi. He's in Shamayim. He's learning the story. Umay Kamar. So how's he learning? What's the pshat? Amar le Eviatar beni kachu omer, Yonatan beni kachu omer. He's learning the Tanakh with your opinion. He's saying, my son Eviatar learned like this. It was zvuv. And then my son Yonatan says it was an imah. He's learning the opinions of the rabbis. Amar le has v'shalo, umiika sefeka kamesh shemaya. So, how can you say, God doesn't know what happened? Yeah. How can you say, this one says this, this one says that, but God doesn't know the event? Amar le, Eliyahu Nevi says, Elu ve'elu devre Elohim hayim. They're all emet, which means what you said is emet, and what Rav Yonatan said is emet. That's why God says, how can they both be emet? Zvuv matza ve'lo hikpid. Nima matzah v'ikpid, which is he saw us flying the soup. That didn't bother him. However, nima v'ikpid. But then when he found the hair, he was makpid, which means according to this, the hair as it seems like a hair in the soup, which means it was all like in the soup over here. It's the first time it happened. All right, whatever it is, it can be lenient. The fly fell in. But the hair is more, she wasn't careful, maybe. I already, that was a second item. So he was more, makpid. Now the Gemara does. Amal of Yehuda, zvuv beke'ara, v'nima be'oto makom. There's two different things here. Zvuv was in the soup. The nima, as we explained, was in that place. Zvuv mi'isuta. All right, listen, zvuv, he tolerated. It's ma'us, disgusting, but okay. However, nima sakanta. But the nima, we said a sakana, because that hair goes around him, then Chas V'Shalom can cause a knut shafcha. That she says, look at that, she gives the whole story now. Nima be'oto makom, v'darkan hayal le'ashir et ha'se'ar, v'lo l'skin bo'ala le'asot knut shafcha. They used to shave the hair over there in order not to make the husband a knut shafcha, to cut it off. U'misham, u'mishum sakantahu, hikpid ale. So he was upset because sakana, u'barcha mepnei imato. So she ran away because he was she got scared of him. So what happened? Amar of Yehuda, zvuv bekeara v'nima be'oto makom. Zvuv mi'esuta v'nima sakata. Ika de amre, someone to say, idi v'idi bekeara. And someone to say, no, the zvuv was in the keara and the nima was in the keara. Zvuv unsa. The zvuv, it's onus. It flies into the soup, out of control. V'nima b'shi'uta, but the hair she can control. When she was making the soup, she wasn't kidding. She put a net on. She should have made sure that the hair doesn't fall in. And therefore, the Gemara is coming along to say that what Rav Eviatar must have been a great rabbi, because God learns the opinions of Rav Eviatar, as you see in the story of. Let's review the shitot over here quickly, exactly what happened in that episode. It's clearly that she did something against her husband. So the first opinion says it was a yad of tolerance. The first thing happened, fly fell in the soup. Okay, he let her go. When the hair came in the soup already, he said that's the straw that broke the camel's back. That's it. And therefore he got angry at her. And when he got angry at her, she ran away. And that started the whole ordeal. The second explanation is what? That no. The fly was in the soup, and the nima was be'otamakom. And therefore, that already was a yad of sakana. He was able to tolerate the item that was ma'us, but he could not tolerate the item that was misukan. The third explanation is everything was in the soup. The fly, he wrote it off as it was a mistake. It's honest. She out of her control. The fly jumped in. But the hair in the soup, already she was able to control. That's already considered a fishya. So those are the three interpretations that we explained what happened over here. Now, I saw the Mefarshim. They say over here an interesting point over here. Eliyahu Navi tells Rabbi Aviatar, they're learning Yoshitot. God and Shammai is only what you say and what your colleague says. But who is really right? Which means, V'tizneh alav pilagsho, that pasuk is referring to what? That was talking about where already she rebelled, which sounds like, and caused him to get angry, and that caused her to run away. Who is really right? Rabbi Yonatan. He was the one that gave the ultimate reason. Now, the Aviatar was just giving the precursor. So therefore, how does this prove that the Aviatar is really a Gavrarim? If anything, you see that the Aviatar really hit the Nekuda. He was just like a pre-reason. So the Tosfot of Rosh over here says a beautiful interpretation. He says like this, Mekivan shayta zo ha-se'ara shevi'a ta'ish le-ka'as noda v'nitpresem davar mitzi'ata. Rabbi Yonatan's chiddush is not so great in the sense it was evident. Once the second item happened, it was clear to everybody that that's why he got angry, and that's why she was forced to run away because of his anger. The first event, who knows that he was even upset? It was only in his heart. The greatness of Eviatar was, he's telling you, I'm telling you what was not evident in the story. Understand what you, when he finally got angry, everybody, oh, it's hair in the soup. But how do you know that there was a story before when the fly fell in the soup, there was no reaction? So therefore, Eviatar was able to tell us what was not evident. That's why you see, Eviatar was great. That's why, because God saying Eviatar is Hadush as well. In any way, the Gemara learns from this a very important lesson. Gemara's lesson is Amar Rav Chisda Le'olam Al Yatil Adam Ema Yitira Betok Beto. A person has to be careful not to instill excessive fear in his household. The problem with this guy, he put excessive fear on his wife, and that's why she ran away. But she knew she made a mistake. Her hair fell in the soup, so the guy was very tough on her. He says, he's going to kill me. So what did he do? He ran away. And what ended up happening? How many tens of thousands of Jews died as a result in that civil war? So you see over here, when the Torah says, or the Gemara says, le'olam, le'olam means forever. Never put excessive fear. What do you mean the word le'olam? Even if the household is doing something not to your likings, still, ema yitera is no good. Now that implies that ema is good. You need some sort of control in the house and people are going to follow the order. But once it becomes ema yitera, it could lead to consequences. So here we learn about a very important musar. That at a time of anger, people are not thinking of consequence. People are thinking for the present moment. And Gemara is teaching us that imagine if somebody would have been around at that story, when the guy saw the fly in the soup, or he saw the hair in the soup, and he was about to go on a tirade, and somebody would have told him, listen, this tirade over here, if you don't control, it's going to be the result of tens of thousands of casualties. He might have thought twice. And therefore, we're learning a lesson over here. Think before you react, because to every reaction there's going to be consequences, and sometimes the consequences can be dire that you weren't even able to forecast or predict. For example, later on in the Masechet, we're going to learn, it's appropriate, and we'll conclude with this, the famous story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. Well, you know the story of Kamsa was the friend of the host, and Bar Kamsa was the nemesis of the host. the invitations got mixed up. Instead of inviting his friend, he invited Bar Kamsa, his nemesis, and they got to the party, and he tells him, get out of here. What do you mean? I was invited. He says, it was a mistake. I was meant to send it to the other guy. In the other store, let me stay. I'll pay. No, get out. I'll pay for the whole party, so on and so forth. And the guy lost himself, and he couldn't control himself, and he threw him out. Now, as a result of that, the Gemara says, he went to the Caesar Bar Kamsa, and he was bitter, and he maligned the Jewish people, and the Caesar, as a result of it, took his word seriously, and he was able to prove it, and then eventually the Betelgeuse was destroyed, and who knows, hundreds of thousands of people, casualties, ad insof. All because why? Because somebody didn't calculate the results of bad behavior. Now imagine if somebody would have had a little seichel at the time to give him the Mishnah that says, "Ezu hacham aru'et hanolad." Who is the wise man that's able to see the fruits of his actions? Every action is going to be a reaction. It's going to be a consequence. Now imagine if somebody would have told him, "Listen, could you control your anger over here for 2 minutes? Let the guy stay. This is going to cause the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash." Now, who knows if the guy would have believed it or not? But in retrospect, you see from these two stories that two people could not control their anger. The fellow of Pileges Megimah could not control the anger against his wife. And the story of Malcolm said the host could not control, and both had dire consequences. And that's the one of the musar, when we come into the season over here of Bin HaMitzarim, one of the lessons is to remember over here, don't think that your actions lie flat in the water. Person's actions live after him, and therefore think a million times before you do anything, because it's definitely going to be. We end up on a good note. Who adin on a good thing? When a person does a good action, our rabbis tell us that the goodness of God is 500 times greater than the puranut, and therefore you have to know when you do a good deed, that deed is going to perpetuate, and it's going to go on. It's going to be tremendous snowball effect. Letovah, so much to these musarim. Letovah, amen.